On that note, we're going to the phone lines, and this guy's a really fast driver. Hello, Joe Riolo.
Hey, Tom. How are you this morning?
Thank you. Thanks for taking... You must be busy in a car place on a Saturday morning.
Well, you know, we got to take care of all the stuff we can't finish up during the week and make sure to keep our customers happy. So do what you got to do.
All right. Now, you took a shot and probably are in $1 million in your new building at 1029 Main Street. What made you decide to move from Woodbury and take a risk with a new car dealership or a new used cars and repairs new to you?
Well, it's... You know, it's something that we've strived to do, and our location in Woodbury was great for the time that we were there. It was a great stepping stone for us. We established a really wonderful, not just a customer base, but a friend base. Our customers really are more like our friends than customers. And, you know, we wanted to do what we could to serve them better, and we've been looking for quite a while, and thank you to Tom Heel Realty. We found it, you know, a pretty good spot here in Watertown. And, you know, it was a lot of money to do the renovations and, you know, bring the old Neil's Auto Body building back to life. But it certainly has paid off. We've gained a bunch of new customers. I tell you, the Watertown people are wonderful. We're happy to be here. We look forward to serving them. And, you know, we're just excited. It was the next step of the evolution of our business. So.
And you've done a beautiful job renovating. It's like a little automobile museum with your race car selection. But before we get to your racing side, would you talk about why you're an ambassador for the Waterbury Regional Chamber?
Well, I tell you, we had tried a bunch of other different types of advertising, and it was my wife's idea. Of course, she's the brains of the business.
Brenda?
Yeah, Brenda. And to try the chamber, because, you know, every time she needed to find out research or something on a particular town that maybe she was going to do her business in, or when she was administrative assistant for one of her other bosses, you know, anytime he was traveling, she would call the chamber, and they always gave him great advice. Great places to stay, great restaurants, and they're just a good group of people that put you together with like business-minded folks that are looking to grow your business. And so we decided to try it, and I tell you, it's been wonderful. We made great connections, great friends, many, many new customers from it, and it's just worked out really, really well for us, and I just wanted to give back. So, you know, by becoming an ambassador, by doing all the donations and things that we do with the chamber, it's just a way of us saying thank you for having us be a part of that great organization.
And, you know, we appreciate you there, too. We've learned a lot of lessons from you. And I know they have a new membership drive. And Trish Torello from her desk, our sales manager, said that she's going to give 2-for-1. If you buy 20 ads here for, I think, $395, they're going to give you 20 free. So if you're a new member of the chamber or you want to join up to the chamber now during the membership drive, you buy 20 ads here, you get 20 for free. I'm going to jump on that. And, Joe, I hope you do, too.
We have, actually. We are donating 50 free oil changes to the first 50 customers that, to the first 50 people that join the chamber in the membership drive. And if you do want to join, you can definitely come down and see me here at 1029 Main Street. We have all the paperwork to get you signed up and any information that you might need about the chamber. So look forward to taking care of that for you as well.
All right, folks, I'm on the phone with Joe Riolo. He's a client of mine. I appreciate it. We started out as a customer. He's become a client. I appreciate it that he bought the building and renovated it to the max. Let's talk a little bit about your Lime Rock hobby. I'm coming to my eighth season as the second announcer there to Greg Ricks, the voice of Lime Rock. And I met you watching you make fast time and fly down the front straight with your Corvette and your Jaguars and your... 280Z, I think it is, or 240Z. How did you get into racing, and how did you become so fast at Lime Rock?
Well, my dad had garages growing up, so I've kind of been around cars my whole life, and he used to drag race. And so I decided, you know, when I got a little older, when I was like 18, 20, somewhere around there, I said, I want to try racing. Of course, as a good father, knowing what a money pit racing is, he did everything he could to keep me out of it.
Same with my dad.
When it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And so I started drag racing. I drag raced for 3 years around New England, you know, New Jersey, a bunch of the local drag strips here. I did some bracket racing, and that was a lot of fun. But it got to the point where I was driving 6 hours, you know, paying gas and tolls. And if you went 5 runs at 10 seconds a run, you didn't even spend a minute in the car.
Now, so, let me stop a second. 10-second a run is really fast, so you must have been good at drag racing.
Yeah, we did pretty well. I had a 67 Camaro RSSS, had a 396 in it. Mike Pettit from Pettit Racing Engines did an awesome job on the motor. And we would run 1002, 1003 at 141 miles an hour. So, I mean, 135 miles an hour. We had 9-second speed. We just couldn't quite get the car hooked up enough to break into the ninth. But, yeah, it was a great car. It was a lot of fun. had a good time on it. But I decided, you know, like I said, it's a lot of time, driving, tolls and stuff, spend that little bit amount of time in the car. And, of course, being from Danbury, being a police officer in Danbury at the time, the Danbury Race Arena was one of the best racetracks of all time.
And that was a quarter-mile oval?
It was third-mile oval. And, you know, I had a lot of friends that used to race at Danbury. I had an old guy, Nick Nickerson, good friend, who raced there, raced at Plainville, and he had an old street stock. And he says, why don't you just try stock car racing? Let's try stock car racing. I said, well, if you're going to be my crew chief, I'll try it. And so we went out. We won the first heat race we were ever in, so I kind of got hooked pretty bad. But it was a great rookie year. We finished second in points for the championship, won several features, and, you know, it was just a really, really good time. And from there, we moved to Stafford Springs in the late model division. We ran Stafford, Thompson, ran the Race of Champions in Flemington my rookie year, qualified 22nd out of, I don't know, 100-and-something cars.
Joe, let me hold you a second.
Yeah.
So he went from a third mile to Stafford Motor Speedway, half mile, really fast. Thompson, almost a mile there and wicked fast, correct?
Yes, and then Flemington also was a 5/8 mile, very fast.
That was a Roger Penske track. Why don't you hold on? I'm going to play a couple of commercials with Joe Riola. Don't go away. Hills Gallery, right back with more. And now we're going back to Joe Riola. Let me see if I can get him back up here. Joe, you still with me?
Absolutely. How are you?
Very good. So you went to Roger Penske's track in Flemington, which I don't even think exists anymore. And where did you go from there in your racing career?
Well, we continued up in Stafford, Thompson, in the local New England region here.
These were in stock cars, Joe, right?
Stock cars, yeah, late model stock cars. And then from the late models, we moved up to the pro stock division 1 year. And then I ran Busch Grand National North, which is like the Xfinity series.
Yes, sir.
I did a limited schedule with that, but it was an unbelievable learning experience, you know, as far as learning the chassis, learning the dynamics, learning how the cars operate, what little tweaks it takes to make them fast. Great, great learning experience. Unfortunately, it was the only series I never won in, but it was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
So how did you end up at Lime Rock Park in sports cars?
Well, at that time, racing was getting pretty expensive, and my family was getting pretty big.
How many kids?
I have 3 children.
And your wife helps you with the business? She's lovely.
Yeah, she's the best. I couldn't do it without her. Like I said, she's the brains of the business, and you know, she's just really, really wonderful. And we make a great team. You know, where I lack, she's got the gains. And where she doesn't want to interest in certain things, like doing all the face publicity stuff, I'm a ham. I'll take it. I'll do it. So it works out good. It's a good balance for us. But, so from there, I kind of took a little bit of break from race. Actually, I did run a tour-type modified for a guy. I drove one season for a guy up at Claremont, New Hampshire, and modified. Those are great cars. A lot of fun. But so we took a little bit of break, and I've always had sports and classics cars, always been working on them, buying and selling them, you know, for investments and stuff. I had a little Triumph TR6, and as a matter of fact, the Jag weekend is coming up pretty soon at Lime Rock, and they had a class for just street cars. So I had a roll bar in it, I slapped a number on it, went through it, and I took it out at Lime Rock for the Jag weekend. I tell you, I got out of the car, I had the biggest smile on my face. I never had so much fun in a car. I was like, why did I waste 10 years going around in circles? It was, you know, from a driver's standpoint, it was so much better. You're uphill, downhill, left, right, shift, brake. You know, just so much more going on, so much more interactive versus, you know, going round and round. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's a great sport. But for me, the road racing was so much better. So that was the beginning of the end here.
And Lime Rock's 45 minutes from your garage, so it's very, very handy.
Very accessible. And, you know, and the other thing great about Lime Rock and road racing, especially the vintage road racing, is it's very family friendly. You know, when we ran the Busch cars, I mean, you had to have presidential credentials just to get in the garage area. But
yes,
when we do the road racing, I mean, the family stays right there. You can camp right on in the pits. You know, the kids are all around. They're a little more interactive. My kids used to be on the radios with me, and we just had a great, great time growing up. They grew up at the track. And so it was a nice transition to include them in something that I love to do. And so that was the beginning of it. I bought my 240Z. Back in 2001, and I've been racing that car ever since. We've won 3 championships with it, have several track records with that car, and then, you know, of course, throughout the evolution, I've bought and sold a bunch of different cars, and, you know, we currently have 4 cars, 4 vintage race cars now. We are looking to sell one. I've got a 86 IROC Camaro that was the Armor Foods car that ran the Trans Am series in 1986. It's the first Dillon chassis ever built to run Trans Am, and it's a beautiful car, restored very correct for how it ran back. And matter of fact, I saw that car run in '86 at Lime Rock, and it's a pleasure to own a piece of history. But it'd be nice to have it go to someone who can really run it a lot more than I can. Four cars is kind of hard to run them all. So.
Yes, especially without a huge sponsor. Exactly. You know, maybe we can get the Palace Theater to be your sponsor. But
there you go. They'd look great on the side of one of these cars.
They would. And with that said, I know you're into the automotive storage business. So if somebody has a classic car that they want to store, or a customer wants to come up and talk to you about fixing their car, what will they see in your showroom?
Well, in our showroom itself, we've got a couple cars on consignment right now. So we do sales, storage, and consignment for our customers. But I have my four race cars here. I have my 72 240Z championship-winning Datsun. I have my 65 Corvette Roadster, which actually was done over in 06 by Dave Kindigit. So it's got a very reputable restorer, and that car's been a race car since 67.
Wow.
So its entire life it's been a race car. It has huge provenance. It's run all over the country. It's been at 200 miles an hour at Bonneville. It's just been a really, really neat car. And then I have my 1950 XK120 Jaguar here, which is documented as the last XK Jag to race in SCCA national competition. So it's a great car. We ran that at Lime Rock last year. We got 2 seconds and a third at the Vintage Festival. So it was fun to have that car out there. And then I have the Trans Am car that I just told you about. And then on consignment, we've got a beautiful 64 Corvair convertible. One of our customers, and we also have a 1950 Chevy sedan delivery. It's one of the very first early style resto mods. So beautiful car. It's got a fuel injected 350 ZZT engine in it, all Camaro running gear. Beautiful, beautiful car. So yeah, you can see those cars here. And of course, in the shop, we've got some customers' cars. We've got a beautiful TR6, which brings back memories for me. And we also have a really nice 73 240Z, which is in that beautiful green that they had back then. We're in the process of putting a header on it and redoing the carbs for him and getting it ready for, I think he wants to sell that as well. So a lot of different things to see when you're here as far as the sports and classics ends goes. We have, you know, about 3,000 square feet of storage space. And I don't like to crowd the cars in where the customers can't get to them.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we try to make them available, you know, and we're, you know, fully alarmed, secured, cameras, the whole deal, climate control. So you get the best of the best for your car. And that's what we like to offer, you know, whether it be the service, whether it be the sales, or whether it be the storage, we do that with all of our vehicles. And, of course, your everyday, you know, Mercedes to minivans. That's our bread and butter. That's what we do mostly is our repairs.
Bring in mom's car. And to wrap this up, I know that you work closely with the Watertown Planning and Zoning, the Department of Economic and Community Development, Borghese Building and Engineering, and your building is a showpiece.
Thank you. Well, like I said, everyone was really wonderful with working with us, and I think that, you know, they see that we do everything first class and do it right, and, you know, and I think I'm sure that that made them even more interested and be happy about being on board with helping us do the renovations that we did. It, you know, there's always time to do something over, but there's never time to do it right. So I'd rather just do it right instead of doing it over.
Well, if they go up and see your operation or meet you, they'll see that. Joe, just give us your contact info, and I'll let you go back to work on mom's minivan.
Sure, it's Joseph Riolo. We own Route 63 Automotive. We're located at 1029 Main Street in Watertown, Connecticut.
Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for the opportunity. Those listening, thank you. And I look forward to maybe seeing you down here at our shop.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
All right, take care.
Bye.